child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, put it together and we'll get it undone.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnel Doré, and joining me today is our co-host, Elaine Durbach. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Arnel. Glad to be here.
Good to have you back. We missed you last week.
Yeah, it was very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, technology just it gives and it takes. Yeah. Naturalistic Support is a unique approach to lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. On Naturalistic Support, we help each other, combining a progressive understanding of our human experience with peer support. So that involves you calling us to talk about yourselves and to talk to each other too. Our number is 212-209-2877. And today, we're going to continue our look at dealing with difficult people. People who are fortunate enough to have received healthy genes and the essential developmental support for the full expression of their human potential are most likely to be caring, kind, and cooperative. Unfortunately, though, the world has many people who have not been that lucky. As a result, we're all likely to encounter people who can be difficult to get along with at best and impossible to deal with at worst. Whether it's a coworker, a neighbor, or even a family member, sooner or later, almost everyone will have to deal with a difficult person. So, is there a way to understand difficult people that can protect and empower us? Elaine?
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting question because, like you say, there are problems with labeling.
Yeah.
First, as you mentioned last week, simply using a label like difficult person is problematic in numerous ways. Labels in general can interfere with our ability to see a situation clearly. And in particular, the label difficult person can be easily thrown out when someone's been angered or upset. And sometimes in the workplace, someone might be accused of being difficult unfairly because they raise tough questions or they challenge the status quo. Other times, it simply means two people have incompatible communication styles or expectations that haven't been resolved. And occasionally, the term will be wielded by a difficult person for the purpose of manipulating others. So there's also the real possibility that someone with whom you have a difficult relationship might have completely healthy and drama-free relations with others. And all of that notwithstanding, let's continue our exploration of how best to deal with a difficult person.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about that, that idea that you could have a difficult relationship with someone who, to everyone else, they're like a crowd pleaser. You know, everybody is like, oh, she's so nice. What do you mean you have a problem with her? Or, he's so wonderful. What could you possibly say that is bad about this person? So sometimes we are having a difficult relationship with a person that doesn't seem to be difficult with other people.
Yeah, because sometimes you seem to like hit nerves in each other.
Yeah.
And or you remind each other of people that, you know, are outside of the picture, but somehow trigger you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's another reason why the labeling is so problematic, because you could be labeling a person and thinking that you're accurately describing their entire personality when all you're really referring to is the problems that are unique to your engagement with them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's why these ideas of yours are particularly useful. You know, whether they're generally difficult with others or if they're only difficult with you, this is applicable both ways.
Yeah, yeah. Continually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at some practical ways to think about and engage with difficult people that avoid judgment and instead foster empathy, humility, and kindness grounded in evidence-based insights from psychology and from conflict resolution. So the first one is seeing behavior as caused, not basic character. Instead of labeling someone as difficult, understand that everyone acts the way they do as a result of everything that has led up to a given moment. They're shaped by their history, their stresses, their needs and fears. In naturalistic humanism, this is known as meta-awareness. But this isn't only a core concept. It can also be found in social psychology's emphasis on causal explanation over moral judgment. And rather than saying they're mean, you can recognize they're acting this way because of X. This reduces blame and opens space for understanding. So practice this. How do you do it? So when someone frustrates you, you pause and you ask, what might be happening for them right now? What's influencing their behavior? You know, that's like the line you give at the end of the program, Arnell.
Yeah, you never know what somebody might be going through.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a great line, always, over and over again.
Yeah, I didn't make that up. Somebody else came up with that a long time ago. but it gets to be a reflex that you can cultivate where when you're hitting a wall with somebody, you, instead of just reacting with anger or coming from an emotional place, you filter this through your analytic brain and you say, what's going on for this person? What do they need? What are they looking for? What's the obstacle here to having resolution?
Yeah, yeah. Like as you said, all humans have core needs for safety, respect, belonging, autonomy, competence. Difficult behavior often signals a need that's not being met, not innate malice. So approaches like nonviolent communication, NVC for short, encourages interpreting actions in terms of needs rather than character flaws. And you suggest translate behavior into needs. They're insisting strongly. Maybe they fear not being heard.
Yeah, nonviolent communication is very close to the naturalistic support approach. It adds a couple of focuses where you are asking the person, or at least asking, perhaps just yourself, what does this person need? You know, what is the need that needs to be fulfilled? And then you could think about that inside your own head, but then you could actually mention it to the person. You could actually say, you know, what do you need right now from me? What would satisfy you? And not only that, the other part of that nonviolent communication work is acknowledging what you need inside of yourself, what you need. So you're thinking about what they need and what you need, and you're going to make that need known to the other person. You know, well, what I'm really afraid of here is that if I agree to this, you're going to make assumptions that we can do this all the time, and I'm really concerned that the structure we set up continues to be honored by by everyone. And so this makes me really uncomfortable to make this change in this, even if it's in this one, you know, exceptional situation, I'm afraid it won't be treated as an exception. You know, it's something like that.
Yeah,
where
that's being very vulnerable.
Yeah.
I mean, you're dropping the option of being antagonistic back.
Right, because like in the example I just gave, let's say the person saying that is actually the final vote or the decision making, you know, the decision maker over, you know, a certain policy that either gets enforced or doesn't. When you talk about what you're afraid of or what you're concerned with, you're no longer coming from the dynamic of power, right?
Yeah.
You're no longer coming from, this is going to go the way I want because I have the power to make it go the way I want. You're kind of letting go of that and saying, if I go that way, I can get what I want in the short term, but in the long term, I'm creating an enemy or I'm creating resentment that ultimately is going to undermine the very thing that I'm trying to preserve, right? Which is my authority or my effectiveness in this organization or in this situation. I'm undermining that if I'm creating, you know, broad resentment, because usually this wouldn't be the only example of where you're clashing with people that, you know, that want something different than you. And if you always approach it from the standpoint of power, that's going to have, you know, reverberations that are going to go in a direction that you don't want them to.
Yeah, exactly. It's an extraordinary shift in what would be the impulsive reaction.
Yeah. And let me just remind our listeners that we want to hear from you about what your experience has been dealing with difficult people. Have you been accused of being a difficult person? Is there someone in your life that you are struggling with right now? Have you had success in the past getting past the issues that you had with another person that you considered to be a difficult person? Maybe you're helping someone else who's dealing with it. Call us at 212-209-2877 and tell us about what you're going through.
Give that number again.
212-209-2877.
I'm really looking forward to hearing what people have to say. Last week was so interesting.
Yeah, we had some good calls last week. Yep.
Yeah, because this is definitely stuff that almost all of us have to deal with. So this third point that you offer is really practical. Listening with curiosity as opposed to fixity.
Yeah.
So empathy starts with genuinely hearing someone, not planning your reply. Research on active listening shows it builds trust and it de-escalates conflict because it communicates presence and respect. So the steps for doing this. First, reflect back what you heard. Like, it sounds like you're trying to say or what you want is.
Right.
Sounds like.
Right.
Then check for accuracy. Yeah. It sounds like. Is this what you mean? Am I hearing you right?
Sometimes, particularly if you're in a conflicting situation of conflict, neither party is really hearing what the other party said. You know, like if you're mediating between two people, one basic major first step is to let one person state what they perceive to be the issue. And then ask the other person, what do you think Elaine just said? Can you just sum up what Elaine said is the problem? And it's amazing how, you know, either they'll present it in a way that kind of denigrates Elaine, or is dismissive or passive aggressive in some way, or they totally don't get it at all, and or they refuse to answer it because they're like, I see what you're trying to do, and you know you're not going to get that out of me, and so if you can't get even to a point where parties can clearly and accurately hear each other and reflect back, here's what I heard you say, it's very unlikely that, you know, you're going to make significant progress without that particular being satisfied.
I've heard people try to do this, and you hear after that feedback, somebody saying, no, that's not what I meant at all.
Yep.
And your third suggestion is just holding space without interrupting or defending. That's extremely difficult, but it's so good when somebody offers it to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when there's conflict, allowing for silence is very hard because both people are trying to get their points in, and when one side, you know, kind of backs off and, you know, for the purpose of leaving some healthy contemplative silence, often the other side can't help but take command of that space and fill it with, you know, more of their complaints.
That's what makes it so hard to give them that space if they're going to kind of gallop across it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can, and if the other person slows down because they feel that they're being heard, listened to.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, slows down is a good way to express it, that, you know, if it, maybe part of holding space would be to ask if the other person is willing to slow down. Can we both slow down? You know, can we both just leave a little space here for us to feel and think about what's going on and how we can improve this?
Wow. Fantastic. And then your fourth point might be even more challenging, practicing humble inquiry. So this means asking open questions without assuming you already know the answers. It's a concept, you say, from organizational psychology that creates psychological safety and understanding rather than defensiveness.
Yep.
Yeah, like for an example, can you help me understand what matters most here? Or what's your perspective on this?
A lot of times we have everything that we want to communicate, but we're not giving an avenue of expression for the other person, and sometimes people will take it, but sometimes, you know, they'll just create an opening for them to say what they want and need and all that, but inviting it is an important way to maybe kind of, you know, lower the flame on the conflict a little bit, you know, just saying, okay, so what's your perspective on this? Where are you coming from?
And then, I mean, it's another thing where I've heard this happen in real life, where you suddenly hear somebody say, but hold on a minute, that's what I was saying. We're actually asking for the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you want the same thing. Sometimes you want the same outcome, but you have a very different idea of what's going to be effective at achieving it.
Yeah.
And that's where it's really necessary to be rational and not, you know, overly emotional, because if you're going to try to figure out how to navigate a solution to a problem, it has to be the result of clear thinking.
Yeah, and honesty.
Yeah.
Well, some honesty.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I like what you're saying about honesty, because sometimes the reason we hold on to a particular way of doing something involves our ego, right? It involves, it's my plan, and no, I'm not open to another plan because I'm really, I spent like all week working on this, and, you know, it's very hard to accept that despite that, this other person who I don't feel spent 2 minutes thinking about it has a better idea.
I think that's the absolute core of what causes this kind of difficulty, is feeling threatened. I'm feeling threatened sometimes on a very fundamental level. My family has always said it this way, or we've always done it this way. And if you're suggesting something different, are you making my family, my background, my history invalid?
Yeah.
Have I been wrong all along?
Right.
It's scary.
Yeah.
So this is what you refer to as our internal frame. Yeah, I think this is very much connected to that.
Right.
Our judgments.
Yeah, you want to notice, you want to become aware of what your internal frame is.
Yeah. There's automatic narratives in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, like they're unreasonable, they should know better. Elaine, we actually have some callers on the line, so let's...
Great.
Yeah, let's get that. We got to raise the volume here so we could hear people. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Calling from New Jersey, Maryland.
Marilyn, how are you? My foster mom. All right.
Hi, the wonderful Marilyn.
Well, Dad and I had a very good experience. We found we were not communicating with something, and we had gone to a therapist, and she made a suggestion. Arnell?
Yeah, what you have to do is you're going to have to tell Alexa to stop,
okay,
because Alexa, you can't have the radio. You can't have,
okay,
or you could just say turn the volume down, because you can't have the radio on while you're on the phone. Otherwise, you're going to get that.
I have it off right now.
Okay, good, perfect.
Okay, so do you hear me now?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we went to a therapist once who made a suggestion. And we thought it was kind of silly, but we would try it. And the suggestion was, if we have an issue that is bothering us, we make an appointment to deal with it. So, like I would say, next Tuesday, I would like to pick this up again, and we discuss it. And on that Tuesday, at the designated time, we would talk about it. And we were trying, at first I would tell him what I'm saying, and he would have to repeat back to me what he heard me say. And if it's really what I said, we would continue. Because sometimes when you speak to somebody and you're angry, you're not coming through the way you want to come through. So you have to be careful that other person is actually hearing what you're saying. So it worked.
So you're saying if you do stuff like that, you could actually be married for the better part of 70 years?
Yes, 72 years we made it.
72 years married. That's just so amazing.
There's so much there that I love.
And
the fact that you agreed to go to a therapist.
We had an excellent therapist.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And then that you agreed to honor that appointment with each other. That you didn't say, I'm not in the mood.
Time, Elaine, we made an appointment for the following week.
Okay.
And we would actually do that. And sometimes we went a couple of weeks until we sort of reached some sort of agreement. And while we were doing it, we never got angry because it was really, it was a discussion. It was almost treating it like a business discussion.
Well, what was the time range, Marilyn, of those meetings?
Not more than an hour.
Okay.
Not more.
Yeah.
Usually it went in a half hour, and if I saw it going in circles, I say, let's table it and come back next week.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
wow.
You don't want to beat a dead animal.
Yeah. No, that's great stuff, and no
so
wonder
nice.
Why you were able to be married for that long. That's great.
Oh, he was such a nice person, right, Arnell?
Oh, yes. He was the easiest to get along with that I've ever met.
He was a very lucky guy. He was
Anyhow,
very lucky.
All right. Thank you.
It took me a long time to get, it took me a long time to get through again today. So
that's why
I forgot half of the things I was going
you
to
were,
tell you.
You were front of the line.
Well, what you what
I
you
too, I can't remember the whole thing. You realize that?
Well, what you contributed is really important. Thanks, Marilyn.
Okay. See you later. Take
Talk
care.
To you bye-bye. Soon. Bye bye. And we've got another caller on the line, I'm pretty sure. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Yes, is that me?
Maya?
Yes.
Hey.
I'm calling from the Mystic Cove. Always good to hear your program. For some reason, it's hard to hear when you're on the queue, waiting to get on. It's hard to hear. The other caller, but you and Elaine seem to be coming through. I'd like to suggest some reading, okay? Ecclesiastes, in the Bible, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, said the preacher. That's the state of the human condition. And, of course, a book I recently discovered brought back the days of studying comparative religion at the University of Pennsylvania, but had forgotten, is by an Indian mystic, and it's called Who Am I? And what who,
And that's exactly what I was going to ask you, Myatt. Who are you? And what have you done with difficult people? And what's been your experience, personally?
It's a process. One does not understand the concept of Maya, as the Hindus put it, of illusion, delusion, identifying with the senses, the body, the material world. We are so programmed, especially in the West, that we don't understand the quantum, interconnected, spooky action at a distance, reality. Okay, that's
Do you think that word vanity that you mentioned, all is vanity, is that the same as we use ego? Are ego and vanity similar?
That's why we live in a world that's upside down, inside out. And the movie channel had the Diary of Anne Frank and the Attic, the Hiding of Anne Frank. We have Gestapos in Minneapolis, a practical liar who's running the land, and there is no food. An Animal Farm by Orwell. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. In 1984.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Maya, thank you for all that. Appreciate it. You really covered a lot of material there. Thanks, Maya.
Oh, we've got to get this farm sorted out.
Yeah. Okay, I think we have one last caller on the line waiting. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Oh, maybe not. Okay, that's
yeah, it looked like they hung up.
Okay, thanks, Reg.
Oh.
Okay. So we're almost at the bottom of the hour. Let's take our halfway break, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Naturalistic Support
right here on 99.5 FM
WBAI New York.
Non-commercial, listener sponsored.
Peace and Justice Radio.
On Wednesdays from 2 to 3, Naturalistic Support is taking listener calls, offering a revolutionary new way to think about ourselves and reach out to each other.
I just wanted to call in to give encouragement to the last caller.
It hit right on where I am right at this moment.
You really hit the proverbial nail on the head.
I really connected with what you were saying about loneliness.
We are hardwired to help each other.
Getting past the blame, owning your own truth, letting go of judgmental thoughts.
I felt so fortunate to hear this.
You went through every single one of the things that I've been working on with my life. Now, you said all that, I'm like, holy cow, what is this guy doing? Is he talking to me right now?
The Naturalistic Revolution is a game changer. Listen to us break it down on Wednesdays from 2 to 3.
I want to thank you so much. You helped me so much.
We are back. You're listening to Naturalistic Support. Today we're talking about dealing with difficult people. I'm Arnel Doré, and with me is Elaine Durbach. And Elaine, you were just telling us about noticing your internal frame. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, this is such challenging stuff to stand back and exercise this kind of effort as opposed to just allowing knee-jerk responses.
Yeah.
And you're saying our judgments often come from that automatic narrative in our minds. Oh, they're being unreasonable, or they should know better. And cognitive psychology shows that noticing these thoughts rather than believing them reduces their impact on interactions. And you suggest when you feel irritation, try, I notice that I'm thinking they're unfair. And that's a thought, not necessarily the truth.
Yeah, that's a real,
you're asking for a kind of detachment there rather than just being immersed in it.
Yeah, there are a couple of practices where adding the prefix, I notice, and then, you know, I'm feeling this, I'm not that, it gives you a level of separation that allows you to look at your entire system as being this system that you're kind of trying to step outside of and say, okay, Arnel is going through this experience right now. And it's not that I am the experience. I'm Arnel having this experience. And saying I notice gives us that separation that can help us tamp down some of the intense feelings that cloud our judgment and cloud our being able to see clearly.
I'd like that, you know, where I'm looking at it and thinking, wow, this is a lot of effort. But what you're saying is that it actually cools things down so that it becomes less uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing when you start doing some of these practices, how much it can relieve you. It lessens the burden. Because we carry so much, and if we could just, you know, kind of put things in perspective, all of a sudden it feels like our load has gotten lighter.
Yeah. It's like we're unshackling ourselves a little bit. And then you say your next point was like giving the same privilege to the other person that you're giving to yourself. So you can disapprove of behavior without demeaning the other person.
Right.
You're describing, descriptive rather than evaluative
right.
distinction.
Right. The precision rather than judgment, you know, rather than seeing somebody as good or bad or righteous or evil or right or wrong, you know, you just saying, you know,
that's
you know,
their behavior.
Yeah,
that's
their...
That's not them.
Right. So we have some words that are loaded words, like annoying or stubborn. You know, they're loaded. They're filled with judgment. But if you just, instead of that, instead of stubborn and annoying, you say, their behavior right now is uncooperative. And that that's challenging to me. You're being accurate without dehumanizing the other person.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully giving that same grace to ourselves.
Yeah. Our number is 212-209-2877. We'd like to know about how you've dealt with difficult people in your lives. We were graced by my foster mom, Marilyn, calling in and telling us how for 72 years of marriage and a long friendship leading up to that marriage, too, since they were kids, how she and her husband dealt with conflict. And they had a pretty effective approach, it seems like.
That commitment to actually trying to work things through, that's so much mutual respect in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So should we carry on with these points?
Yeah.
You've gotten us very practical here.
Yep.
So grounding kindness within boundaries. So empathy doesn't mean tolerating harm. It's really important because we're saying to people, drop your guard, be more open. It doesn't mean tolerating being harmed. Research on healthy relationships shows that kindness coexists with clear boundaries that protect emotional and physical well-being. A form of practice, you calmly state what you can and cannot accept and offer empathy while upholding those limits.
Right, right. So this, you know, kind of relates to expressing what you need, but it's also saying, look, here's as far as I can go. Here's the limits of what I can deal with.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear that you're having a hard time too. As Marilyn said, they would sometimes let the discussion go, come back to it days later.
Yeah.
Make that agreement and put a hold on hostilities. Knowing they were going to come back to it.
Yeah, timing seems like a key factor. Seems like if you could just kind of time shift a little bit, you know, much like we do with streaming video, you time shift to when it's good for you or good for you and the other person, certainly when it's, you know, a little bit removed from a heated moment of conflict where you're both... ramming heads together.
And if you trust the other person to honor that agreement. Yeah.
Yeah. Callers, have you dealt with a difficult person in an effective manner? Have you ever kind of come out of a conflict and felt like, okay, that was a win-win? You know, we both walked away with something that we needed and we got past this obstacle. I know that there are people out there who have done this successfully. We'd love to hear from you because your experience is informative to others. A lot of people are up against a wall that they don't know how to get around or get over or get under. And, you know, your experience can... be instructive. So give us a call, 212-209-2877. Before we carry on with this list that we're talking to you about, why don't we play a very brief clip about how to deal with difficult people from a slightly different perspective. This is, let's see, who is this? This is California licensed therapist Jim Brillion, and he's talking about some useful perspectives, and it's a very brief one. Let's give you that.
Hey, Jim, how can you deal with a difficult person?
You can't really reason with an unreasonable person, but you can learn things like ways to de-escalate conflict through active listening, staying grounded and calm yourself. That's huge, so that you're not reacting to them. One way is to think about trying to look for the unspoken need in that person, trying to understand what is the reason that they're so difficult right now. You have to try as much as you can to be flexible and not to personalize whatever is happening. The difficult people, you need to limit the amount of time you spend with them, the exposure that you allow them to have with you. And sometimes you just need to say no and walk away. You need to, talk to someone, take the dog for a walk, exercise. I think you have to give yourself credit for doing the best that you can. You practice compassion for yourself, compassion for that other person too, but, not taking personally that person's difficulties, even though they're going to try to project it onto you.
Yeah. That all seems, and it seems consistent with the stuff that we've been saying.
Yeah.
Another aspect of trying to deal with the other person with kindness and empathy and humility involves looking for shared values, trying to get past the adversarial dynamic.
I keep thinking that that's what should be the basis for us crossing this right-left divide that we're in at the moment.
Yeah.
That there are fundamental desires, values that are so strong. Why can't they be our foundation?
Yeah. And social psychology demonstrates that if you can highlight goals that are shared or values that are shared, that reduces the conflict and really boosts cooperation. So you would say, look, we both want a good outcome here. We care about solving this. Let's find some common ground. As opposed to just thinking about how your positions are conflicting with each other. You're instead talking about your shared purpose.
Yeah. It's kind of like the difference between the one who thinks that only by crushing the other side and imposing their will their rightness prevail, versus what they might think is a kind of woke, wishy-washy compromise. That in fact, that imposing the will thing never lasts. It's not viable.
Yeah, absolutely. And another really important point is to recognize that when you're trying to deal with another person who you're in conflict with, and you're trying to be empathetic to them, you also have to be kind to yourself.
Yeah. You've got to have empathy for yourself as well. That's what I love about this naturalistic support, that it also makes you more tolerant of yourself. More inclined to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, often when I have to do the elevator pitch about naturalistic humanism, and I just give the two-word explanation, the super most abbreviated, which is stop blaming.
Yes.
It turns out that that's insufficient to communicate the basic idea of what this is about, because what people think that means is stop blaming others and take responsibility and blame yourself. And it's not what this means.
Yeah.
It's stop blaming others and stop blaming yourself.
Which also doesn't mean you can do whatever the hell you want. You're entitled to just let it all hang out, be totally impulsive, bully the other if you want to.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that.
No.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is recognizing, okay, I'm in a situation that's difficult and I'm feeling frustrated, and that's okay, that's understandable. And I still can respond patiently.
Yeah. So in other words, you're the sum total of what's brought you to this point.
Yep.
If you're listening to this program and you're hearing these suggestions, you can choose to try them out. You can add this ingredient to your mix.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, just hearing this stuff will be helpful to some people, because, you know, sometimes being in a conflict can really put the blinders on, and all we see is the conflict, and it's so hard to see something else. And sometimes I'll hear something that'll, you know, just hearing it kind of makes me say, wow, okay, I didn't think of that. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Often it's something that I might have already known, but I just didn't have access to it at that moment.
Yeah, and here's a tool to try it out.
Yeah. Now, all the things that we've been talking about so far are things that you can do yourself that can help. And, you know, if one person in a relationship changes the way they behave, the relationship changes. You don't need both people to change the way they behave. One person makes the change. You know, it's like a dance. We've said this before in this program. If one person changes what they do when they're doing a dance, the entire dance is transformed.
Sometimes that means you kind of trip over your feet and bump into each other.
Yep, that's true. That's why going for ballroom dancing lessons can really help. I'm a big fan of that.
That's why I want to see you doing what you've talked about. At some point, having discussion groups where you learn the steps together.
Yeah.
You get to practice what it's like to actually do the same dance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We really, one of these days, are going to start. I'd like to do something in person and something virtual, too. And we'll let listeners know when that comes available.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Look, I think people get addicted to anger sometimes, that it can be something they get hooked on. But the pleasure of cooling things down, of feeling open, of being able to relax, of feeling safe, is a much greater pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. Our number again, 212-209-2877. I believe we have a caller on the line. So let's get that. Let's see. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi.
I don't feel like saying my name.
Crystal. You've called too many times, Crystal. You can't hide it now.
That's your unique voice.
Yeah, there you go.
Or none. I'm
sorry if I outed you. I didn't mean to do that. It was just a reflex.
We're excited to hear you.
Yeah.
Yes, I love your show, and I love a bunch of y'all shows. But you know what I found out? First of all, we got to always be, well, not always be, because we never know what we're going to come across. Some stuff can happen like that. You know,
yeah.
Like I have neighbors who get on my nerves, so they seem to always go out when I'm coming out. So now what I do is...
They're waiting for you.
Right. And it's, you know, it's what happened today. And I was on my way to my therapist, but I can tell the therapy is working because I wasn't, like, really fully upset as I could have been. I can feel the difference.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great.
But one thing I've also noticed, too, I have a couple of relatives who I don't speak to anymore. We don't, you know, I gave up on one of them because she's a liar. So I finally came to the determination. I used to call her every day to see how she was, to make sure she was safe. But she's a liar, so I've determined that I'm going to be all right. I'm not lying on her, calling her a liar. It's true. And so now, as much as I love her, she's going to have to make the first move. I'm not going to be going out my way, and it feels great.
Crystal, I'm just curious. Why do you think she lies? Why do you think that she doesn't tell the truth?
I think part of it has to do that I got more attention than she got growing up. I've always been told I was the cutest. She had better hair, though.
Okay.
She had better hair. I was more outgoing than her. She was the bookworm, and I was more outgoing. But
Do you think she knows she's lying?
Yeah, she does. She's not a constant liar, but she definitely lies. So I've learned that you have to be true to you, but you know, we have to always be, you don't want to fly off the handle because things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. You can walk out the street, got the light, somebody decides they want to try to run you over. You can't bug out. You got to, you know, compose yourself and always think before we do stuff. Because I think I said this before, you have to be true to you, though. And if you know that you are not lying, if you know that you're not doing something like to aggravate people, like I remember when I was in church, one girl told me, I said, you know what? I've noticed you never call me and stuff like that. She says, well, you know what? I was just afraid that you was going to flip out, and I didn't want you to flip out, so I just, you know, stayed my distance. These people don't realize they hurting you saying this nonsense.
Mm.
But I've grown to the point where people do things, they're not even aware of it. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they aren't. And if I flipped out on every single thing, you know, because people, if I don't say nothing else today, I'm going to say this. People only recognize when you flip out. They don't recognize that you give them the shirt off your back, that you give them money when they ask to loan, borrow money. They don't see all of that. All they see is when you spaz. That's what most people realize. They say, oh, wow, that chest, she flipped out. They don't see the good side of you. They forget all of that part. So it pays to be mindful of how you behave, especially in public, because people are watching. They don't care about how good you are.
You know, Crystal, it just sounds like you're doing great work, you know, in your with your therapy. You know, it sounds like you're getting some important, valuable insight into yourself and into the people around you, and that's something that I just gotta, you know, I gotta say I have so much respect for that, really.
And this next part, Crystal, you must stay with us, stay listening, because this next part of what Arnell has to say is right where you're at.
Yeah.
Talking about boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have much time to talk about boundaries.
But it's exactly what Crystal's dealing with, what you're doing yourself.
Yeah.
The importance of having those boundaries that keep yourself safe.
Yeah. Crystal, we're at the end of the show, so thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. And call us again. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yep, and we're at that time. Maybe you could just quickly tell us about the boundary stuff, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay. So still, at a certain stage in dealing with a difficult person, like this person who lies a lot, you may need to decide whether to continue to engage or to withdraw. You may feel that continuing to engage has a chance of improving things. On the other hand, if you think that engaging would be too difficult, you strongly suspect it wouldn't be productive, you may need to withdraw. And in some situations, withdrawing may be relatively easy, such as in the case of deciding to end a new friendship that you're increasingly unhappy with. But unfortunately, there are situations where completely withdrawing from a difficult person just isn't possible.
Yep.
This can include relationships with family members or people at work, neighbors. But there are other ways to deal with it, other ways to create boundaries.
Yep, and we're going to have to leave it there, Elaine. But I'd like to remind everyone that you could still show your support for Naturalistic Support by becoming a WBAI buddy in the name of our program for really as little as $5. Hopefully you could give a little bit more per month, but as little as $5 per month by going to buddy.wbai.org. And we're going to have to leave it there. You've been listening to Naturalistic Support's look at dealing with difficult people. I'm Arnell Doré, and joining me today was Elaine Durbach. Thank you, Elaine.
My pleasure. I'm glad that everything worked today.
Yeah, everything seemed to have worked. Also, thanks to our patient engineer, Red Johnson, and to Hilla Weiss for her support. Tune in again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for another edition of our program. Archived editions of Naturalistic Support can be found on our website at WBAI.org and at EqualTimeForFreeThought.org. And stay where you are, because coming right up is the Katie Halper Show. Hi to my foster mom, Marilyn, who we heard from today. And remember, always try to be kind, because you never really know what someone else is going through.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Love is but a song.